Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are here today only because the kingdom, the power, and the glory is yours. If it was anybody else's, we would not even exist. We're here because of your mercy and your grace. We've been blessed in this service thus far. And as we open your word, only you can open our hearts and deposit in there, Lord, your divine will and your divine power. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. The message today is the second in a series about the purpose of the church. Last week, we looked at the purpose of the church through our church's name. Everybody with me? What did we do last week? We looked at the purpose of the church through our church's name. Amen? A name that we have been using for how long? How long? We've been using the name Seventh-day Adventist for 150 years. Amen. 3 years before we became a legal organization as a church, we adopted the name Seventh-day Adventist, October 1, 1860. It wasn't until 1863 that we were formally organized as a church. Amen? Much like, you know, just to draw a contrast, 1776, United States got its independence. But it wasn't until several years later before we had our first president. Amen? And so, 150 years using our church's name. So last week we talked about why we are Seventh-day Adventist. And it ties into why we exist. Why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Different people come into church for different reasons. Someone says they join my church because it's a friendly church. Another certain person joined the church because we preach the truth and teach the truth. Another person joined the church because they came and they just liked the church. Why are you here in this church? Why are you a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? And we highlighted several things. We looked at the name Seventh-day and the name Adventist. And we looked at why did we choose those two names to identify us as a church? In 1863, there were several dozens of churches already in existence. As a matter of fact, there were even some churches keeping the Sabbath. Right? There were the Seventh-day Baptist and Seventh-day of different denominations and so forth. Why did we come into existence? Why the Seventh-day Adventist Church? We looked at the name Seventh-day, that we chose that name, the first part of our name, to emphasize the importance of all of God's commandments. Amen? To emphasize all of God's commandments. When 99% of Christians living at that time were only emphasizing how many of his commandments? They were only emphasizing 9. We decided we want to emphasize all 10. And the one that they had forgotten, the one that they were not including, was the fourth commandment. And so when we say Seventh-day Adventist, we are highlighting the fact that the fourth is just as important as the third, the second, the first, just as important as the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and the tenth. Amen? Hallelujah. That we don't mess with the Ten Commandments. We don't change them. We don't forget them. They are eternal, unchangeable, and immovable. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's the first thing we emphasize regarding our name, Seventh Day. And then we looked at the fact that the seventh day also highlights something else about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is not the old covenant. You got that? The Ten Commandments is not the old covenant. They are not just a set of rules. Amen. The Ten Commandments are God's declaration of our freedom in Jesus Christ. What are they? You must not forget that. They're not just 10 rules. Don't do this, don't do that. No, what God is saying is that I'm declaring your freedom. Amen? Hallelujah. And the freedom begins by saying, he says it in his word, I am the Lord your God. That's the first part of the declaration. Meaning, he's saying that I am Yahweh. What does Yahweh mean? Yahweh who has no beginning, Yahweh who has no end. I am he. Amen. And I have delivered you from Egypt. For Egypt for us is what? Represents what? Represents the world. Amen? Represents sin. I've delivered you from Egypt. I've delivered you from bondage. And then it says, you, because of who I am and because of what I've done for you, you shall have no other gods before you. That's a declaration of your freedom. While all the world is wandering after gods, while all the world is worshiping other gods and worshiping images, while all the world is wandering and calling God's name in vain, while all the world is forgetting about the Sabbath and polluting God's Sabbath, while all the world is dishonoring parents, and while all the world have no regard for human life and sanctity for human life, and they're killing and not only literally, but they're killing emotionally and causing harm on other people, while all the world is committing adultery, and while all the world is stealing, while all the world is lying and coveting, God says, I declare to you your freedom in Jesus Christ. You shall not do these things. Amen. That is the first purpose of God's Ten Commandments. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Then we looked at that the word seventh day also depicts our prophetic mission to uncover the falsehoods of the devil's substituted system of worship and salvation. That was a mouthful. So let me say that again. Our word seventh day looks at the fact that we have a prophetic mission. Say prophetic mission. Prophetic mission to uncover, say uncover, the falsehoods of the devils. Say the falsehoods of the devils. System of worship and salvation. Say that. System of worship and salvation. So we have a prophetic mission to uncover the falsehoods of the devil's substituted system of what? His system. We have a prophetic mission to uncover the falsehoods of the devil's substituted system of worship and salvation. There's a lot in your name. There's a lot in the name that we carry. Amen. And the whole purpose of these series that we're doing is that you don't just wear the name in name only. Amen. We have a special mission as a church. Glory to God. Amen. We said more things, but I've got to move on. The word Adventist, why did we attach the word Adventist? We could have said Seventh-day Church. But we said Seventh-day Adventist Church. Amen? Glory to God. And church, if you're not praying for the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church, God has watched over this church for almost 150 years. And in 150 years, we have not split. In 150 years, we have not have divided ourselves where you got one group going in this direction and another group going in this direction. It's not been easy. Anybody who went to the last general conference we had in August in Atlanta, Georgia, you realize there are all kinds of issues and issues that people are so heated about. Issues that people sometimes they will die for their issues. We got to pray that this church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, stays together. Amen? And your prayers, added with prayers of other people, will make that happen. There's a lot in your name. We looked at how the word Adventist, the literal meaning of the word Adventist or Advent, what does it mean? All right? The word Adventist comes from the word Advent. The word Advent means coming. That's what it means. You have the first Advent and then you have the second Advent. The first coming of who? It's the first coming of Jesus Christ. That's when he came as a baby. That's when he came to be a savior. That's when he came to literally offer himself up as a sacrifice so that we can be saved. Hallelujah. So why did we highlight that? Why did we say Adventist? We said Adventist because many of the churches in existence of those that time, matter of fact, about 99% of them were not preaching and teaching that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, if you're a church and you're not preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ, my goodness, how in the world can you miss it? From Genesis to Revelation, he says, I'm coming. And we can see how easily the devil can get people fooled. Because if you're in a church that's not preaching and teaching that Jesus is coming and we need to be prepared as a people, how easily you can be going on having church and be unprepared. We highlighted the fact about his coming, that his coming will put an end to sin and all its problems. Do we have sin in the world? Yes. Do we have the consequences of sin? Yes, we do. Well, his coming will literally put an end to that. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then we highlighted the fact that we as Seventh-day Adventists, as Christians, that we live every day as if Jesus would come that day. You know, the sad reality is that if Jesus Christ came on the Sabbath, you'll even find some Seventh-day Adventists who are not prepared. If there's any day that you ought to be prepared, it ought to be on what? But you see, we become like some other Christians who basically they have a 2-hour Sabbath as opposed to a 24-hour Sabbath. Amen? And that's if they come to church and spend 2 hours in church. If they come to, and just come for the sermon, it'll just be a 1-hour Sabbath. Huh? Meaning that on sundown Friday, Sabbath wasn't even on their mind. Sundown Friday, they did not in any way acknowledge their creator and to thank him and to pause and say, God, for the next 24 hours, I'm going to be so focused on you as the creator. I'm going to look back on the past 6 days. Matter of fact, I'm going to look back even on my whole life. I'm going to take an evaluation, a review of what you've been doing in my life and throughout the world. I'm going to show homage. Somebody say homage. To you, I'm going to be able to recognize that the last 6 days that I lived has been lived only for you. And so I'm not going to do any work. I'm not going to do any playing. I'm not going to do any kind of business because I want to focus truly on you. If I'm engaged in a life of work that is an emergency work, if I have to go there, I'm gonna still keep my mind Sabbath filled, so that I can still be meditating on your goodness and your mercy. Amen. There's a lot in your name, and we as Seventh-day Adventists, we live every single day as if Jesus Christ will come on that day. Amen. That's why it matters the way I treat you. That's why it matters the way I even conduct business. That is the why I'm not going to compromise anything to miss out on heaven. Because it might be my last day. And I don't want to have to go through all that I've gone through and then be lost because I'm unprepared. Amen? We highlighted the fact that we're like the five versions of the parable, in the parable of the 10 versions. The five versions, they had their lamps, but they had extra oil. And why were they there? Why were they, in the parable, why were the virgins there? The virgins were there to light up the way of the bridegroom to come. Did you get that? Just like a pilot who's about to land and it's nighttime. Isn't it spiritually dark in this world? Isn't it spiritually just wicked and spiritually evil? Isn't it? And God needs individuals who have the lights down deep in their hearts. Amen? That's why the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. We've got to be people who are constantly keeping the light of God in our hearts. That's the combination of the word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, verse 13, he says that the word, the sword of the what? Come on, the sword of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. You can't separate the two. Many people try to do it. Amen. You can't have the word of God without having the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have individuals who call themselves Seventh-day Adventists who have the word of God, have the words of God, have the truth and the teachings of God, but do not have the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that connects us to Jesus Christ. If you're not connected to Christ, you miss everything Christ has done, everything Christ is about. But yet we wear the name Seventh-day Adventist. What's in your name? What does your name mean? Are you advertising to the world who we truly are? Or have you just become a nominal Christian? We talked about Adventist because we're preparing for the second coming of Christ. We're in the world, but not of the world. And in this media age that we live in, I tell you, all the devil has to do with some Christians is let them buy a nice flat screen TV. A nice big screen TV. And he literally, all he does, he doesn't even have to bother you again. Are you listening to me, church? We're talking about situations of life and death. We're talking about how we are being called 150 years later to fulfill a mission that began 150 years ago. But it didn't begin then. It began 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ proclaimed, as you go, wherever you go, make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you, because lo, I am with you always, even unto the very end of the ages. My prayer is that we will not just treat this as another sermon. You know, I've often said that I've literally quit preaching sermons. I have. Because sermons are this nice little, neat little box, and have a nice 3-point, has, you know, opening and the closing, looks nice and cute. I don't have time to preach sermons. Too many people hear sermons and they don't follow them. What I preach are messages. Messages that I believe God wants us to hear. Messages that God put on my heart. And there's not a single message that God gives me that when he gives it to me, it doesn't break me. It brings tears to my eyes. We are Seventh-day Adventists. But we are not Seventh-day Christians. We are 7 days Christians who are Seventh-day Adventists. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you don't understand that, just kind of, you know, tap me on the shoulder. I'll break it down to you. But I want to now go into a short message, and I got it on slides here, and maybe I can have the lights. Someone can just cut those lights off, please, so we can just get a clear look at the screen. And why we exist. Amen? And I'm praying that we're hearing this to follow. Please don't get lukewarm on Jesus today, please. Please, I beseech you, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ. A lukewarm Christian is a Christian who is non-effective. Is a Christian who you put them in the world and they make no difference whatsoever. They're just there. Amen. They're not effective. The world has all kinds of spiritual sores on their spiritual bodies. The world has all kinds of spiritual aches and pains. And God is looking for a hot-packed Christian or a cold-packed Christian who can come and put that pack on the cold, on the spiritual sores of individuals. Some people need a hot pack. Some people need a cold pack. Come on and say amen. That's what he meant when he says you're neither hot nor cold, but I wish you were hot. I wish you were cold. Why? Because that particular nation, Laodicea, was known as a medical institution. And medical institutions back in those days was not a pharmaceutical institution. They did not use drugs to heal people. They used natural remedies. And they believed in hydrotherapy. And Laodicea was known for using hydrotherapy. And so Jesus Christ says, if I can give a message so that the people who live in Laodicea back in those days, that they can understand, that they can vividly catch what I'm really trying to say. And he said it in no uncertain terms. He says, you're lukewarm. You're known to be a town that specializes in hydrotherapy, hot packs, cold packs, but you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And you come before me every Sabbath. You bring your lukewarm Sabbath school lessons. You bring your lukewarm offerings. You bring your lukewarm programs. God says it there. You read it in Revelation chapter 3. He says, you literally make me sick. And as the, out of the seven messages that in Revelation 2, Revelation 3, Laodicea is the only one that makes Jesus sick. The Bible says, I will spew you out of my mouth. It uses the word of regurgitation. God cannot stomach lukewarmness. He cannot stomach people who come, listen to messages, and go away unchanged. And yet we profess, yet we call ourselves Seventh-day Adventists. So I pray that today's message, that we will all take it to heart and be about our Father's business and turn this church into a church that literally God will have to assign more angels just to keep up with the passion and the spirit that is in this church. The church is like a lighthouse. Somebody say lighthouse. The original purpose of a lighthouse was to erect a tower, as we see here, because that ships who come in, either when it's foggy or in the dark, the lighthouse is to indicate, don't come any further because it's dangerous. There are rocks there. And some of the rocks, you cannot see them. They're below the surface, but they will tear up the bottom of your ship and you will sink. That is the purpose of a lighthouse. At nighttime, that lighthouse is there to shine its lights. And it shines it. And every ship, one of the first things they know when they learn about their safety is how to identify a lighthouse. Amen? That's what it's there for. So that when they see the lighthouse, they will have to check their coordinates and make sure they get to shore on a safe place. Somebody say safe place. Isn't that what we are about as a church? Isn't there dangerous rocks out there that people do not know about? Amen? We have been rescued ourselves. Praise be to God. Now, here's another lighthouse, as you can see. Dangerous rocks. This rock here, a ship is no competition for it. Amen? The angry seas of life. People are tossed and battered, but they're looking for what, everybody? Someone say lighthouse. They're looking for a lighthouse. They're looking for that lighthouse. Now, what is this, you ask? This represents a hut that individuals built because they realize that people, after they've been shipwrecked in life and the storms of life and on the stormy seas, they're injured, they're hurt, they're hungry, they're cold, they need help. And so they erected, as quick as they could, a nice hut where they could put beds and put a heat in there, and so they can have a nice place to rest, get well, and to go on their journeys. Amen? So this was like a rescue station. Somebody say rescue station. And many times you have many of these depending on how many people are rescued. And what happens is the word will go out. Shipwreck! Shipwreck! And they would gather all the people who've been trained to rescue those people. They would rescue them. And many of them will be just hanging on life, hanging on to life. And they will bring them in, restore them. But what happened is these individuals who they would bring, bring back to health. Many of them, they came there with just their wet clothes on their back. And they said, you know what? I'm just going to make my home right here. They make their home right there. And the people who've been rescued, they actually make a little club. And a former club. Because they meet once a month just to remember how they've been rescued. And where do they meet? They meet back in these houses. These huts. The stormy season have passed. And they said, you know what? We need to build some better houses. And they actually formed themselves a little club. And they build clubhouses like this one. They go through all kinds of expenses and they pool their expenses together. And they build these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful clubhouses. I mean, it's just so exquisite. Just nice. Just plush. And they meet every single time. Every time they have a little meeting, they come together. And they're reminded. They tell their little rescue stories. And they tell what they've done since they've been rescued. And they come. And it's an exclusive club. Only those who've been rescued can join. And then they discuss, you know what? We need to put a new chandelier in our clubhouse. And they discuss what kind of chandelier to put there. That's what happens. But what happens is another storm, another shipwreck. We can't put the people in these nice houses. We don't want to dirty up our carpet. We don't want to soil our couch. Our beds. You know what? Let's just build another hut. And you'll have a disagreement in the group. One group will say, the reason why we exist is to help these individuals. Another group says, well, you know, they don't need these houses. And so what happens is a group break away. And they build another hut. But the thing that happens is that group gets comfortable. They form a little club. And the cycle is repeated. And sometimes, you know, churches can become like these clubhouses. Exclusive. You come, you meet. Nobody knows why you meet. And people don't even know why you exist. They see a whole bunch of other clubhouses around, spiritual clubhouses. They don't know why they exist. But we got to realize that we have a mission that has been ordained by Jesus Christ himself. Amen? Because literally there are people whose lives have been shipwrecked. Individuals who are tossed and driven by the seas, the angry seas of life. And we have been called to rescue these individuals. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The devil takes no prisoners. He wants to kill every single person he has. But God gives them a special window of opportunity so that they can be saved. And the only way that they can be saved is when we tell the saving message. Are you on God's rescuing team? That's why this church was put into existence. We have, as a church, as a Southside Seventh-day Adventist church, we have been in existence for half the time that the Seventh-day Adventist church has been in existence. Are we doing the rescuing work that Jesus Christ has commissioned us? Are you doing that rescuing work? What office are you in right now? What office are you holding? What position are you holding in the church right now? Is that ministry there to rescue people? Or are you only there just to do that ministry, just to do programs for that ministry? Or are you tied into the rescuing ministry of Jesus Christ? Sometimes, church, we got to rethink the way we do business. And that's why I'm asking and I'm calling us together again this evening. You're not just coming to another business meeting. We're coming together to look at ways how we as a church can truly be a rescuing church. Amen? Please don't get lukewarm on God. The time is too late for that. Amen? We got a work to do. We got to roll up our sleeves. No matter what ministry you are in, that ministry is only there to strengthen our rescuing muscles. Amen? Let's say we had a ministry of feeding the homeless. We don't have that, an organized ministry of that, where we feed the homeless all throughout the year. But let's say we had a feeding the homeless ministry. Even though that's an extension of our church that we offer to the community, the only reason why we do it is so that some of those homeless people can find a nice warm meal, get some hope into their souls, and be able to find their bearings, get the help they need that's offered throughout this county, get back on their feet, and realize that there's a church here, a lighthouse here, that can give them more information about Jesus Christ, who came to save them. Amen? No matter what ministry is, don't get so caught up in your ministry and say, well, this is what I do. This is the only thing that I... You're there as a rescuing member for Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Sometimes if I looked at where God stands, God will want to shut down some ministries because they're not fulfilling his mission. We are a rescuing team. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're there to help people. We're going to find them injured. We're going to find them hurting. We're going to find them in need of a savior. They're all around us. They're your neighbors. They're your co-workers. They may look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're torn up. On the inside, they are heading towards damnation. And you are the rescuing member. You are God's rescuing soldier. And he's called us together to form a team here. Somebody say team. T-E-A-M. Together, everybody accomplishes more. Amen? We're a rescuing team for Jesus. And we got to put aside all our differences. We got to put aside all the non-essentials and the things that we bicker and complain about. Put them all aside. Come together, work together, and rescue people for Jesus Christ. Let them know that once they're rescued, once Jesus Christ writes their name in the book of life, they can count on this church in fulfilling the word of God. Every member in this church ought to learn how to give a Bible study. You don't have to give all 23. You don't have to give all 13 of the main teachings that we have. But you got to be able to open this book somewhere, whether this is John 3:16, whether it's there in Romans 8, where or Romans 10, where you can show somebody why you are a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to get back to that missionary spirit that this church was born with and realize that we are all missionaries. Who are missionaries? Missionaries are individuals who are carrying out a mission. That's all. It's not for people who are going overseas. We need more missionaries here. Matter of fact, we need to go overseas and get some of those Seventh-day Adventists come over here to help us. Because they're baptizing by the loads. You know, we always boast about how we're every 3-4 seconds we're baptizing somebody. But do you realize it's not here in the United States? I got to calculate that one of these days, Dr. Doolin. How many are we baptizing? It's probably, I don't know, one per week. When the rest of the world is baptizing a new member into the Adventist church every 3-4 hours. A new Adventist is being baptized into the church. Somehow here in North America, when we have all the talent, all the resources, we have all the technology, we have all everything else, all that, and what are we doing with it? We ought to be so specialized in how we rescue individuals. People are torn up, bummed. Do you know that the devil has terrorists? I'm not talking about just the Al-Qaeda. I'm talking about spiritual Al-Qaedas. I'm talking about individuals the devil has hired to literally bomb neighborhoods, to annihilate, to just wipe out people so that they don't have a chance for eternal life. We are God's rescuing team. Once you be on that team, once you get off just from the pew you're sitting on, and become an active rescuing member for Jesus Christ. Bring them in. The church is a hospital for sinners. Amen. In the church, we have all kinds of sins in the church. Amen. But we're a hospital. We're a place where people can come with their sin-sick souls and find the great physician and find the physician's assistants. Somebody say amen. Who are there because they're sin-sick as well. And they're there because we come to a Savior who died to set us free. Amen. We're a hospital for sinners, but we don't go around spreading our infections. Glory to God. Amen. In some churches, you got members of, that's just how I am. And they expect everybody just to kind of just lay back and let them just do what they want to do, say what they want to say, any kind of way, hurt who they want to hurt. That's spreading your infections. Hospitals don't do that. If they do, they close them down. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to realize, saints, who we are a rescuing team for. We're a rescuing team for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who created the universe. This here is a picture of our Son. God created it through the second person of the Godhead, Jesus. Amen? A beautiful, beautiful Son. This is our Son up close and personal. You don't want to get near this baby. It's a ball of hot, fiery gases. Jesus Christ created our Son. But the only reason why I put this Son up here is because when you consider our earth in relationship to the Son, this is our earth right here. See my little red dot? Follow the red dot. This is a little depiction. And they blow it up just enough to let you realize where it is in relationship to the Son. Our sun is a sun for how many planets? Some of you were raised on 9 planets. Some of us were raised on 8 planets. Pluto, they said, is it's a miniature planet. It's not really a planet, and now there are only 8. But do you realize that in our solar system, catch this, everybody, in our solar system, the sun occupies over 90% of the space. No, you didn't get that. Let's say this room here is our solar system with what is it? Venus, Mercury, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Uranus. No, I missed Saturn, didn't I? Somewhere in there, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and so forth, okay? And everybody's in here with all the moons. One of those planets have about 60-something moons. Another one of them have 40-something moons. We only have one moon. But all those planets, right? They're in this solar system. Let's just say this. Imagine this building as a solar system. And the sun is the sun that lights up, is the sun for all 8 planets. How much space would the sun occupy? Over 90% of this space will be our sun. And on just a little bitty space for the planets, much less Earth. Jesus made that. But yet, he put aside his Godhead, came down as a baby just to rescue you. My question to you, have you been rescued? You know, Elder Cheadle, we put a lot of people on the names of our books. A lot of times that does not signify that they've been rescued. It signifies that they accept the teachings of the church. It signifies they believe that they're truth and they adopt them for themselves. But you've got to go make sure you take a step before that to guarantee that you have been rescued, to guarantee that your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got to surrender your life to Christ and live in a surrendered attitude to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Where he is Lord of your life, and then you who have been rescued, you now go out to rescue other people. Turn to 1 Peter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. We're going to be closing, but I want you to catch this, everybody. 1 Peter, what chapter? Chapter 2 and verse 9. It's one thing to come to this church every single Sabbath, but it's another thing we got to realize, we are a rescuing station. Amen. All hands on deck. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. If you have it, say amen. It says there, but we, say we, are a chosen, what everybody? Generation. We are a what? Royal priesthood. We are a holy people, nation, a peculiar people. And that word peculiar, it really means special, a special people. Back in 400 years ago when this Bible was written, peculiar meant special. Today, peculiar means something very peculiar. Amen. So whenever you try to break this down to somebody, don't use the word peculiar. Amen. Use the word what? Special. Amen. You got to realize how this is a dated Bible, 400 years old. Some of the words have changed its meaning. And that you should what? Show forth the praises of him who called you out of what, everybody? Okay, he called you out of darkness. That word called there, he didn't just say, hey, Brother Dixon, come out of darkness. Hey, Sister Doolin, come out of darkness. Hey, Angie. No, he didn't just call you like that. No, he came down to earth. He spilt his guts, so to speak. He literally offered himself up as a sacrifice for our sins. Our sins literally killed him before the Romans could. Hallelujah. That's what it means. He called you out of dark. That darkness represents sin. And then he said what? Into his marvelous light. We are rescuing teams going back out. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to John 8, 12. John chapter 8, the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 8 and verse 12. It says there, do you have it? Jesus spoke, then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in what, everybody? Darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. Amen. Jesus says, I am the light. Just like the sun is the light for this solar system, it occupies over 90%. I've read in some places where it's as high as 95, 96% of the space of the solar system. I am the light of the world, Jesus Christ says. Amen? And then what has he done? Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. He goes and he says, he says he is the light of the world. But now in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. Do you get that? Now, what light do we use? His light or somebody else's light? We're using his light. Amen? That's all we have to do is use the light. We don't have to create the light. I was talking to somebody just this morning, as a matter of fact, from one of our campuses, and they were talking about how some of the stuff they're learning from their little groups, you know, their groups of students coming together and learning different things, and they were learning what this person was giving them as new light that cannot be supported by the scriptures. And I said, you know what, I'm getting ready to get out of here, but I will call you back, and I'm going to give you the scriptures to support that what this person is doing and how this person is leading you is wrong. They're leading you into legalism. So we don't create light. We literally point people to the light. Can you say amen? He's not the S-U-N, he's the S-O-N of God. Amen? And in Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. It says, a Seventh-day Adventist that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You better put your name in there. Kevin Ramey, that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. I don't care if this is total darkness. If I just had one little spark, that everybody will see the spark. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, church, God wants us to be a rescuing station. He wants us to be a lighthouse for those who are trapped in darkness. Amen? He wants us to go down to those rocks where they've been trapped and been battered and gently bring them up. That's why he says we are fishes of men, using the analogy of fishing. And some of us are still fishing with our frying pans. The only kind of fish you're going to catch in a frying pan is a flying fish. And they'll hit that frying pan and they'll fly back out. Many of you have gone fishing. What do you use to catch the fish? You got to use bait. And as we find these battered people, these people that know nothing about Jesus Christ, we don't come to them and says, you need to keep the Sabbath. The seventh day is a Sabbath. You get these Christians walking around, you know, with their little bumper sticker trying to say they're advertising for Jesus. The seventh day is a Sabbath. Is that what you want to advertise, saying you are a rescuing Christian, that the first thing you want to say is that the seventh day is a Sabbath? Somehow that's going to attract somebody who's trapped and says, oh my goodness, I've been looking for that. They don't want to hear about your Sabbath. They want to know that, hey, I am hurting. I'm lost, and I don't know it. All I need is a friend. All I need is somebody who just cares about me. Somebody who can just sit with me. And as they sit with me, and they realize, man, You've taken your time. Every time I see you, you have a kind word to say. Every time I see you, you ask me about this and ask me about that in terms of my well-being, my family, and so forth. You will show concern. You remember my children's names. You know, I notice, you know, every single day you dress up in your nice suit. Every Saturday you're going out. Where you go? Remember, you are what? Fishing. Right? You use the first bait, friendship. Now you got to get out the second bait. Amen? Don't just go like some people. Oh, I keep the Sabbath. Oh, the Sabbath is the truth. Oh, it's a fourth commandment. 99% of Christians today not keeping the Sabbath. You need to keep the Sabbath. Come to church with me. Fish just swam away. No, get your second bait out. I'm glad you asked that question. You know? But maybe some other time we'll get to that. That's your second bait. What does that lead leaving inside them? They want to know more. Amen? You continue using that first bait, the friendship. That's how you bait them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 You can't hide as a Christian, but you can hide as a lukewarm Christian. Amen. As a lukewarm Christian, you can come into a church, not give a Bible study. You can hold some of the highest offices in the church, not give a single Bible study to anybody, not influence anybody to come into the pool of Christ, and still be a lukewarm Christian. God says, no, we need to change the way we do business. Amen. And I pray and hope that you come tonight as we meet. AY, what time is AY? What time is AY? There's no AY today. All right. We're going to meet at 6 o'clock. What time did I say? 6 o'clock, everybody. 6 o'clock. We need to talk about how we need to be a rescuing team, how we need to change the way we do business. How are we going to do that? Amen? Now, please, saints, please, don't raise my hopes. Amen? I look at you, you look like, yeah, I'm going to be there. I don't want to come and see 10 people here. Amen? Once a quarter, we come together. It's like a special huddle as a church. So we can learn how we can better preach and teach and reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? All right. That's all I have to say today. By the grace of God. Amen? We've got to pattern what we do after Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. A light to save people. Are you saved? There's no guesswork, saints. Right? Salvation by works have been thrown out of the window a long time ago. Salvation is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. He offers it to everybody. He literally goes up to you and says, here am I, I'm giving you salvation. I'm giving you salvation. I'm literally holding your hand to rescue you out of damnation. That's it. Any person who accepts that hand, allows Jesus to pull them up, is saved. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to pull back your hand. Literally, you'll have to fight. Hold. You know, try to pull. Come on. Pull away. Use your other hand to pull away. Come on. Fight me back. Fight. No, use your hand to hit my hand. Come on. Hit it. Come on. Hit it. She's so nice. She just doing it so. You literally have to fight. You have to be in a lifelong struggle with God not to be saved. And you got to watch out for those little devil's deceptions. Because the devil himself will set up churches and have people following something that looks like God's church. But he just has them in there to fool them so they'll be lost. So to ask the question, are you saved? And are you serious about this saving station here called Southside? Like last week, I want to dedicate myself. I cried when God gave me this message. I cried when I realized how he saved me. I wasn't homeless. I wasn't destitute. I was born in a family that was already a Seventh-day Adventist. I was raised in the church. But while I was raised, I was lost. While I was raised, I was heading to hell. And I heard the voice of Jesus. He showed me my sin-stained life. He showed me how ugly I was spiritually, how lost I was. He reached down. He grabbed my hand. Tell you, I remember just like it was yesterday, the very first day that I walked down the aisles of my church. I was only 8 years old. I wasn't baptized until I was 13, only 8 years old, but I responded and I kept on responding. I want to dedicate myself. Because as your pastor, I don't want to ever lose perspective. God has given me the mandate to make sure that this church goes in the direction that he wants it to go. And I don't want to just keep church as, you know, like as a habit. I want to be a leader that is so filled. A leader that is surrendered. A leader that is ready to do whatever is necessary to get the church to where God wants it to be, so that we can be that saving station that he has called us to be. And I truly, honestly, rededicate myself today. God has not called me to an empty church. He has called me to a church. A loving church, nice church, a talented church. But he's called me to a church who is extending a call to you to rededicate yourself. To, like someone says, to evaluate, are you doing all you can as a rescuing member? Are there some things in your life you need to adjust? Are there certain things in your life that's taking more priority? That when a rescuing team needs you, they can't find you? When the rescuing team needs you, you're like, I'm sorry, and you got nothing to do. Do you want to rededicate yourself today? If so, would you just come up front? Just come up front and stand with me. And let's rededicate ourselves. Amen. The hour is late, saints. People need the Lord. They need, the only way they're going to get the Lord is to get the people who know the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's the only way. Now, as you come, I just want to make sure I'm not just the only one. Because sometimes, you know, we can get, as preachers, we can get so in the word and we forget reality. Just give me a check. Is it just me, or is it truly that what we are doing now as Southside is not cutting it? Is that just me, saints? I mean, come on now, be honest with me. I'm your pastor. I've been sent here first by God. I'm blessed to be working for the Seventh-day Adventist Church 24 hours a day. I'm here as your pastor. I came here at the end of 2000. But as I look at things, as I look at the rescuing work that God has commissioned us to do, as I look at the fact that the Seventh Adventist Church, why we are called into existence, and I look at what we are doing on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, and a yearly basis. And I look at it and I say, Father God, we're not doing what you have called us to do. Amen. We're not the rescuing. It'd be different if every single person in this church right now were one day old Adventists. That would be different, but we've been in the church too long. Amen. And I know by the grace of God we can do better. Amen. Am I the only person thinking that? Huh? Do I need to go back and get some my spiritual eyes checked? Because God has placed me in this body, and he's placed me as one of your eyes, as the chief eyes, as a matter of fact, for this church. And if I'm not seeing correctly, you got to tell me. Because there are other eyes in this church. But I don't want to just be spinning my wheels. We're here to do a special work. I did not create it. Central California Conference of Seventh-day Adventists did not create it. But every time I read about our mission, and every time I look to see what we're doing, I says, wow, Lord, when is the two going to connect? I know I can do better. How about you? Amen. By the grace of God. Father, my Lord, I know many of us, Lord, sometimes we just feel like giving up sometimes. But Lord, you didn't call us to be the power that powers this church. You've called us to be powered by Jesus Christ, the head of this church. And you have all power. You said, lo, I'm with you always. You said, I have all power in heaven and earth. I have enough power to power your son. I have enough power to power the billions of other sons out there that will make your son look like a dwarf. And I've called you people. That's what he's saying to us. I've called you people into existence to be an extension of me, the creator of this universe. Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for you, God. Nothing. You just need us, Lord, to come. You just need us to show up. You just need us, Father God, to be a part of it. You just need us, Father God, to say, Lord, whatever you want, I want. Your passion is my passion. Your business is my business. And there's no business that I have that's not yours, because you are my creator. You've done too much for me, Lord. You have eternal life for me. And who am I to say I'm not going to do as you say? So, Lord, after 76 years, oh God, if it were possible, we need to make the first member of the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church proud 76 years later. They're resting in their graves right now. They have no idea what's going on. No, they're not looking down from heaven. They're just resting, waiting for the resurrection and the life. Oh God, if they can see their church 76 years later, is this what they would expect? They ought to really see probably 76 churches from this one church. But God, we're going to begin today. There's always a new day. There's always an opportunity. There's always a time for repentance and time, Lord, for forgiveness. There's always time to admitting, Father God, we've missed a mark. And there's time, Lord, where we can truly come and say, Lord, have mercy. Father, 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 I need you. I need you, Lord. I don't want to lead any congregation the wrong way. I want, Lord, to do what you have commissioned me to do. I've seen too many leaders, Lord, full of themselves. Too many leaders building empires for themselves, building kingdoms for themselves. I don't want any piece of it, Lord. All I want to do is to coordinate and to train, Lord, and to fellowship with a body of people that's following your will. So, Father, please. As a matter of fact, Lord, I don't have to ask you. You've already given it. You've already said, Lord, that we shall receive power. Hallelujah. So right now, we receive that power. Glory to God. Father, thank you. Thank you. In the name and the power of Jesus Christ, let everybody say together, amen. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.